Spyro tried. It had a great attitude towards space.
I think it was a kind of normal sort of attitude to have at the time. Space was rapidly running out. We were very much aware that there was overcrowding. Well, not just overcrowding in the cities, but I think most people living in cities feel kind of locked out of society, in that you actually have to sort of buy your way into premises just to even sit down and socialise, maybe have a beer or have a coffee. And there aren't really any public spaces left. We kind of ran out of spaces doing community events, really. I mean, we just got a small sound system together and sort of opened it up to whoever would like to come along and play and do their thing. And that rapidly escalated in about a week. And within about 2 months, we had to sort of go out into the fields and try and find more space. And we got into the sort of notion that, you know, the commons had been enclosed throughout history, and that really what we needed to do was sort of reopen the commons. And, of course, commons for us weren't just something with the name the commons. These were big open empty spaces, usually miles away from anywhere, where we could actually go and gather and connect with other people. And having the sound system and playing the music was, of course, a great way to actually make that connection. You know, the dance floor became the kind of common space. And rapidly, all by itself, really, it sort of took on its own sort of shape. And without actually even trying to sort of make a point or be political, it just seemed like a very natural thing to do.
Can you just put us in a time frame for there?
Where
was that small little spiral type sound system
this
from?
Was back in the day.
Yeah,
in,
back, of course.
In 1990.
Was it? Right, okay.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to see the original sort of small, fluffy, spiraled
rig.
Yeah.
It was always like that. I mean, we have this reputation of having this enormous system. If anyone can remember
the original beautiful up in... It was all about the spaces for me as well, wasn't it? It was the nature. It was getting out to really beautiful spots. And I think the first time I remember seeing you lot was in Bala Lakes, you know. Is that North Wales?
Yeah.
You know, you're up, you're out, you're in the space. And that's, you know, it came from the travelling movement and the... You know, the rave that followed it was, as much as anything, was getting back to our spaces. And a lot of the time, obviously, through Stonehenge and a lot of the other sacred monuments, was about that connection back to the land, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, it was for me, Stonehenge. You know, as a teenager, I used to hitchhike down to the Stonehenge Free Festival at summer solstice. Well, not summer solstice. I mean, that, I think, went on for at least a month. So you went down there a few weeks ahead of time. And if people like Hawkwind showed up with the sound system...
They played for about a month as well.
They played for a month. If they came, it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And so they were providing the actual sound system, stage and lights and things. And, you know, if they didn't show up, then it was... more like a sort of, I don't know, just a little gathering around a campfire with some bongos and a guitar. But, so I suppose that was the inspiration for that. And, you know, you mentioned the travelling scene and stuff, and, you know, that has all its roots in the protest movement and, you know, people trying to reclaim that space from the missile sites originally, you know, and all that kind of thing. And then everyone just sort of getting into flow and moving with the convoy and reinforcing, if you like, that whole idea of the Free Festival at Stonehenge. And then, of course, you know, that sort of aroused the wrath of the people who don't like that kind of thing, don't like people staying up all night. Once we'd left London, we left permanently, and we felt that we were very much sort of on the fringes, not just of society, but we had somehow kind of escaped the perimeter fence. And there we were, kind of out in the moorlands and, you know, exploring these this sort of empty, wild, beautiful landscape. And people were coming out of the cities, as Grant says, you know, and they were experiencing that contact with nature, which is no small thing when you're out there and actually living it and, you know, experiencing sunset and staying up and seeing the sunrise. You really do get an orientation of what it is to be alive and to be human. And I think over time, you kind of go native, you go feral. You know, when you're out there and you're looking back in on society, you actually see society as it is, this very controlled small box. You can actually sort of feel the rigidity of the templates that are sort of enforced upon people living inside that box. And of course, you had a kind of psychedelic kind of thread running through it. You had the new music. You had that kind of unspoken promise of the new wave of technology that was in the music. And you had all this amazing kind of wave of optimism, this energy sort of bubbling up.
That's what I was remembering from it. It was, you know, preceding that time in movement and motion was people being outdoors, reconnecting them with the land, reminding themselves of their past, their ancient pasts. But I remember the Spirals turning up and a lot of the other, you know, electronic rave sound systems, but projecting something into the future. And Spirals particularly were of a very much of a far future. They were, you know, cyberpunk sort of extraordinaire, moving it forward, the black and the silver and the... It was a different edge to it because, you know, like, historically the sort of the traveler scene had been battered, was on its last legs. As much as, you know, bless the Hawkwind and all those things that we mentioned before, they were getting old, and it was like just as the punks kicked out the hippies, it was the next thing. But it was, I think, really projecting into a much further future. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. There was some kind of foreshadow, if you like. And I think you get that a lot in art and music, don't you? There seems to be...
The fusion of the times.
Of the times, but also, you know, watching the water flowing down the river the other day. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, when there's rocks ahead, in the ripple effect, you actually get ripples bouncing back upstream. So, you know, there does seem to be a kind of a rippling effect ahead of things in time. I don't know if that's true, but it's a nice diagram, and I think that we felt that, and I think that a lot of that new electronic music was kind of heralding in this new kind of wave of technology. We could feel it was coming. We were very excited about whatever it was, but we didn't know what it was. And that fusion with the kind of Gaia-esque kind of idea when you're out and you're, as you say, reconnecting with a kind of ancestral past, I think that was very much a strong energy that was flowing, that, you know, we are all just people outside of this tiny, tight little box, and that this is something that is actually in our, not just history, but it's actually in our biology. You know, the Thatcherite sort of regime that we'd all grown up in was trying to convince us all that, you know, this was kind of abnormal behaviour. You know, gathering and standing up for your rights. And of course, the legislation you were saying about people sort of getting old, who had been into the Free Festival thing, and they were also getting battered and tired by the relentless oppression. I mean, you know, at some of the things, there were troops turning up, there was a huge amount of police brutality, and there was all the legislation coming in. And, you know, we showed up with our, you know, sort of our very sort of young, energetic and naive, and we had no idea of that history. And I think if we'd realised what a battering the people had taken a year before, we wouldn't have been there.
Naivety is a great fuel. It helps, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Just never forget it, you know, the energy that it brought. It's just that crossover time.
Can you tell us a little bit about the book you're writing? You're writing memoir, adventure, novel, narrative.
Yeah, it's a non-fiction narrative, and I'm trying to write it as a kind of blow-by-blow, as it happened kind of story, because I think it could be so easily just a sort of a dry list of calendar events, really, and that's all been done before. I mean, I'm very lucky that I was in the thick of it.
To a certain extent.
Yeah,
so I mean, I still think that there's such an alternative history there, not just what's happening in the traveller scene, the squatting scene, in the protest scene. It is kind of unwritten, and we've got to be careful that we don't historically let it slip.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean,
a lot of it was just pre-internet as well, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
so yeah. I'm sure that, you know, the argument for a creative...
No, all the actual... Well. All the facts are there. You know, are the bedrock. They are the skeleton, if you like. Yeah. But obviously, it's written through my eyes, and it's about the interaction I was having with the people and the world around me. And I actually think, having tried this a number of different ways and written many hundreds of thousands of words, the sort of experimenting with it, that is probably actually the most accurate way of conveying it. Because if I cut out
tradition.
If I cut out that storytelling aspect or my angle, then I would be doing a disservice to the story, because that's really, for me, the intensity of the experience. That's where that lies. Mm. So yeah, I'm working on that. That's slowly coming together.
What's it called again?
A Darker Electricity.
Brilliant.
Is the working title. But I've grown quite fond of it.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like it. Shall we have a tune?
Yeah.
And talk a bit more afterwards. You all right with that?
If you like.
Okay.
If you're online, you can check it out while you listen to this. So like a double whammy, Darker Electricity WordPress.
It's www.darkerelectricity.wordpress.com.
Sound Out Radio, stay locked.
Dark pages in the history of the white man's dealings with the Indian, and many parts of the record are stained with the greed and avarice of those who have thought only of their own profit. There are some dark pages in the history of the white man's dealings with the Indian, and many parts of the record are stained with the greed and avarice of those who have thought only of their own profit.
Wake up!
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Ford in the Revolution there. So we're running out, a bit out of time there. So we like, I can't remember their name, can you? Yeah. That's recorded at, what's his name, Youth Studio in Brixton. I was living squatting next door at the time. Paul McCartney upstairs, Spiral Tribe in the basement. Quite strange times. Killing Joke Studio. Mark, tell us more. Tell us more. Have you got more questions?
What do you want to know?
Where did it go from there?
I find it quite hard putting together a question. This is a radio show about the land. It makes me think about radio as a territory. It's a place where we can meet and share. It shouldn't be owned by any one corporation. There's no one's. It's not a speciality. It's a meeting place. And you're working on other projects now. Mm-hmm. Spiral Tribe morphed in some way to SP23, which is a party collective. Yeah. But also it's got other projects within.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very good point, you know, about these sort of commons and going back to that. I mean, we always felt that there we were kind of championing the causes of keeping those commons open. I mean, we weren't to know that, of course, we were going to get closed down pretty quickly by the government. And off we went out into Europe, luckily with a small community recording studio in the back of a showman's trailer. So we were able to extend our reach with our creativity through vinyl at that point. Of course, vinyl has sort of shifted, and we got the internet now, and that's all happened. We're moving into other territories, and you know there is this electronic commons thing, which I think is a very interesting place, which we're very much engaged in at the moment. Spiral Tribe was a big free party sound system. 9 of the core people and artists who were actually involved in that are now still working together as SP23. We do events all around the world. But we're also very interested in promoting the idea of open source type ideas, governance structures, and creating these new spaces, because that's something we had in common. We were using the electronic music to define a free space, and that is still in play very much so. We're using that as the theme music, if you like, and we're exploring those electrical frontiers, but at the same time trying to open up actual physical spaces as well.
That answers my question.
Good.
In part, always in part. It's really exciting that it's all occurring, and timely time, especially with the idea of digital territory and standing up for your rights.
It's all still going on. It just keeps changing, doesn't it? They keep moving the borders, the barriers, the laws and everything. We just keep changing around them ever since the sort of first of the maypoles went in the ground, you know what I mean?
That's it.
Since the first of the rigs went up, it just keeps moving, keeps changing.
Yeah. And apparently evolution was static for millions of years until the predators came. And after that, that's when evolution really kicked off and everything grew legs and teeth and claws and spines.